Do you want to know a secret? I know you'll never keep it. Promise, I'll try to keep it simple for you. High up in the clouds, like you're so special, like you've never heard that before. Gotta break it to you gentle. But maybe I don't, maybe I won't be the nice guy for once. Welcome to Fan Wonderland. I'm Rebecca Black, and I'm with your host, TJ. It's time to fall into a musical rabbit hole, which, coincidentally, is being recorded on a Wednesday.
Thank you for that, Rebecca. Welcome back to Fan Wonderland. It's Rebecca Desett. I'm TJ, and with me today is the ever lovely and ever amazing Miss Rebecca Black.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you for giving up your time to chat with us today. This is honestly an honour for someone who's been there since the start.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I really hope that by now everyone would know who you are, whether it's via Friday, which is where we obviously start, because we'll start at the beginning of how you came about. I've seen bits and pieces of how Friday came about. I think it might have been your BuzzFeed interview, actually. But For those that aren't aware, do you want to give us a bit of a TLDR, how Friday actually came about?
Yeah, I was 13, and I've always been a massive fan of, not just fan, but it's what I did. My entire life was performing and music and acting as well. And when I was 13, I found this opportunity to try something. It happens all over the place and in California and all that. And I created this little music video to a song that I had sent to me by some company I was working with, and it blew up. It was supposed to be something that was honestly like for me to just try out and be in a recording studio for the first time ever, because I don't come from a family in the industry or anything like that. And so it was like a little project that, it obviously blew up. It became Friday in 2011 and completely changed my life.
It's insane. That's 9 years ago. It feels a lot longer. Well, I suppose it feels less, but do you think it was 9 years
ago? It's like
ago?
Both. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how so many of us have grown up now and become like full-blown people. Yeah,
and it ties in really well into a fan question that we've got from Jen, who she wants to ask, what aspects of the Friday era do you miss, and which aspects are you glad you let go of?
Oh, that's a good question. Like the era of the internet?
I guess like what aspects of Friday do you miss? Like whether it's the popularity or whatever. And which aspects are you glad you actually got to let go of?
I think I miss being, well, I do and I don't miss being 13 at times. It felt like, you know, there's so much like excitement and wonder that you have when you're that age, and just not, you know, not knowing anything about the industry and everything like that. Everything was very exciting. And even though Friday was, it had so much positive, but also, you know, a negative side to it. Like, I think that kind of blissful ignorance was really nice. And just being 13 and, you know, the biggest thing on mine being like Justin Bieber, like that was, life was so simple. But I guess if there's things that I don't miss, it's also being blissfully ignorant. And now I've grown up into someone who, you know, has a bit of her own point of view and actual ideas of a creative direction, and who, you know, I'm starting to begin to understand like what all of this means for me and my life and what, you know, I'm kind of meant to do here. So yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure I remember it could have been around the time of Rebel, and totally okay if you don't address it. I believe it also had a bit of a toll on you both emotionally and like mentally as well, and that was a really emotionally rough time for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Going through such like a unbelievable life change. And, you know, when you're 13, your bubble is mainly just you and your friends at school. And again, for me, Justin Bieber and things like that. Whereas it all of a sudden blew up into being hundreds of millions of people, and nothing had really happened like that before on the internet. So there was nothing to really base it off of, or there was no one I could go to and really talk to who would actually be able to understand and relate to what I was going through. And yeah, it's like having millions of people's opinions come into your world when you're 13. You have no option but to believe them, really. Nothing to base it off of.
And that'd be very overwhelming, wouldn't it?
Very, very.
So how are you able to eventually, not really get past it, but like sort of move past all the negativity?
It took a long time, and for me, it came in waves. I think at first I felt okay because I felt like I was staying strong. And that was the advice that a lot of people gave me was, you know, stay strong and be yourself, but then nobody teaches you how to be yourself. So that all kind of gets lost in the mix. It honestly wasn't until I was 18 and, started focusing on songwriting and really beginning to get some seed of the music I really wanted to make and what I really had to say, and working with people who were there to help me as a person and not just as, you know, a commodity or as an artist who could make them some money, you know, people who actually cared about my well-being first. That was what really helped me get through it.
I think from memory that was partially the reasoning behind firing your entire team at the time, wasn't it?
Sorry?
That was behind the entire reasoning for firing your team at the time, I believe, wasn't it? When you got rid of pretty much everyone at one stage?
You did your research. there were a few reasons. I mean, honestly, I was in no place to have a music career. That was never my, at least at that point, I just had no expectation of it. And so when it happened, it was like, how do we, you know, kind of pick up the pieces and make something of this? But the reality is like no 16-year-old or 15-year-old or 14-year-old should be working, really, unless it's like at a job at Starbucks, you know, when they're of age.
Yeah.
And I needed to be in school. I needed to be able to grow up like in peace a little bit. And at that point, I just didn't really have that. So, yeah, many reasons.
Yeah, that ties in well to how you eventually started moving into songwriting. Starting with My Moment, which I feel like a lot of people don't know about because it was so early. It was so early on for you post Friday, Saturday. Saturday I appreciate because it showed you could poke fun at yourself very well. But then My Moment was like the big first step up post that. Which how did My Moment come about initially?
I mean, everybody was wondering, okay, what are we going to do next? What is Rebecca going to do next? And what does all of this mean? And My Moment was a song that had been written by some really amazing writers and had been sent to me. And I really resonated with it, you know, at the time in the way that I could, I guess, in my 13-year-old brain. But it felt like a sweet song and something that allowed me to, in some way, like start taking that back into my own hands. And also, like you said, like say, like I'm not over here living in a fantasy world. I know what's going on, and I'm gonna make something of this. And it was a fun, like empowering song for myself and for other people, hopefully kind of going through their own thing in its own way.
If I've got the right order, from memory, Person of Interest came next.
Yes.
Which I think, if I remember correctly, this was sort of the, I don't know if you'd call it an era, but it was sort of the, from memory, the last one before you sort of took a bigger step to the style you have now, I guess, if that'd be correct.
Sort of. There were a bunch of songs in those days that, and I haven't really talked about this that much, weirdly. I guess just because, there's just been so many years and so much that's happened since. But at that point, I was, basically trying to just get in and record and understand what any of that even looked like, because the most I'd had of an experience was literally just the one day that I had recorded Friday, which was, not really that legit. And yeah, those songs, like, I mean, a part of me will always love and adore those songs because, I had a lot of fun with them. But yeah, I was really still, like, I mean, I wasn't even figuring it out. I was just like experimenting and playing around and giving some content to people who were there and were really supportive and becoming, I guess, like the start of my audience.
And I gather that would have definitely helped, like we addressed before, in sort of dealing with the negativity from Friday, in that you had really supportive fans, whether it's, someone like myself who's been there since day one, or that was just supporting you and messaging you their support. I gather that would have greatly helped a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I believe the next one, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, it should be Heart Full of Scars if I remember correctly.
I Heart Full of Scars came after a song, after a couple of songs, that I had when I really started to take a moment for myself and go, okay, I'm gonna learn how to write, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna figure this out and figure out what I have to say. Well, I knew what I had to say, but figure out how to say it. And the first song in that was actually a song called Great Divide, The Great Divide. And then followed by a song called Foolish and a song called Heart Full of Scars, yes, which I still love that song.
I just love the whole EP, but
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
REBL for those that haven't actually listened to it. If you haven't, go listen to
Oh,
it.
yes.
The Great Divide, I think, was one of my initial favorites because it was so sort of not, it was sort of poppy, but it wasn't the normal pop you're used to, I guess, which is what really drew me in on that. The Heart Full of Scars was more vulnerable, and I love that you involved the fans in it as well. I'm still determined that Adam Lambert is in it, even though he's not in the cast list at the end. Or is it just someone who really looks like Adam?
Adam Lambert?
Yeah, it like fully looks like he's in the video. But going by
Oh
your
my
cast
God.
list at the end.
Oh my God. I think you're talking about a guy named Rajiv Dahl, who is amazing. He's very talented himself, and he's a YouTuber who will do a lot of covers. We've worked together a lot. But yeah, wouldn't have never put those two together.
I'm just like
But you're kind of right.
Adam Lambert. I'm like, but he's not on the cast list. Oh, it must not be him. Like that would have been a peak moment for you, let's be honest.
Yeah, hey, I mean, I love Adam Lambert. I was blasting Adam Lambert on the way to high school. I was a massive American Idol fan, so yeah,
Now, speaking
maybe
of
in the future.
shows, probably not the, I suppose, the most enjoyable part of it, because I was incredibly mad because both yourself and a lovely Australian singer, Christina Castle, were both on the four episode the same night. Now, for those outside of the US, particularly Australia, that aren't aware of the four, it's kind of like the X Factor a little bit, but you've got four, I suppose you could call high-end artists. I'm not quite sure. Rebecca might be able to word it better. And you've got to try and essentially challenge them to a sing-off and replace them. But the panel dismissed both of you so quickly. And it was just
Oh.
like I was just really mad, and I just refused to watch any episodes after, because I'm going, you just had re two really good underrated talent in front of you, and just like, eh, Nah, we've got better than that. I'm going, you. It's the unique ones that we need, such as yourself. Was the four a positive experience for you or a negative? Because like I've seen from Christine and a few others, there's some like they didn't let you do your own thing really, or go the song you wanted.
Oh.
Was that a particular issue you bumped up against with that or?
Honestly, no. I had such a positive experience with the four, and I know that, with these shows, there's you can really anything can happen, and anybody can have whatever kind of experience. And that was something going into it that I knew could very well be a possibility, was that it ended up being negative. But I mean, I really enjoyed my time, and like you said, they have many talented people on there. And by the time I went up, I had some slim pickings of who to battle, and I had been warned about James, who ended up going on to win the season. And at that point, I just didn't know if me against an amazing badass rapper would really do the trick. So I was like, you know what? Let's see what James has. We're not allowed to see at all what their voices sound like or who they are before. So you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. And I mean, he killed it. And I felt really good about my performance too. And the judges, honestly, were so kind to me the entire time. I know that they make edits dramatic, and they, will do what they need to do. But there was a moment that they cut out of the show where I had gone up and like hugged. Well, I mean, I didn't do it. They asked me to go up and hug each one of them. And like, that was such a cool, validating, warm experience for me. So honestly, like by the time my challenge had ended and the episode was done and James kept his seat, like, oof, that didn't even matter to me anymore. I got to do exactly what I wanted. I performed the song that I very, very first auditioned with the producers. And yeah, it was a really cool experience.
Did that sort of contribute a little bit, I suppose, to your growth, I guess? I don't know if that'd be the right term for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was so scared. I was scared as shit to do that performance. And throughout the entire time, like it was a question between me and, my team and everything, like, is this the right thing to do? What are people gonna think? What if, you don't win or you don't get on or whatever it is? It's like that just we threw all of that out the window, and I threw all of that out the window, and I just was myself, and I gave it everything I had. And that was everything to me.
And I've noticed you started sort of doing a, I suppose, a storytelling aspect in your music videos around the time of Do You, where you started more actively, well, storytelling in your videos. Was that a conscious effort or just a happy coincidence?
I mean, I definitely, with every video I've done, I try to outdo myself. And I've worked with some really incredible people who have helped bring that out. And it's not just something I'm thinking of, but kind of everyone in my circle is thinking like, okay, what can we do that is either going to mean something or be really exciting or different, or just constantly trying to improve. And Do You and Sweetheart were done by an amazing director. Bia Jurima, who I really was just able to work with her on a concept that both of us really like. And the Sweetheart video honestly came from a phone call with my manager and us being like, someone needs to die in this video. That just feels right. I need to kill somebody. And I brought that to Bia, being like, here's what we're doing. And she was like, no way in hell are we doing that? And then we ended up doing it. So that's how all of that worked,
Rebecca wins.
Not always, but I think it's fun to like challenge someone that, especially that you're comfortable working with and doing something that maybe they would think never would work,
And
But I don't always win, that's the
you
thing.
did outdo yourself on Sweetheart, I've got to say. It's
Thank you.
probably next to Heartful of Scars, just because of the background meaning of the lyrics of Heartful of Scars, is probably my favorite. Aside from that, just visually, and I don't know if it was a big inspiration for you. Is because Sweethearts, I think it's been compared a lot to like a bit of a Melanie Martinez vibe, a little bit.
I've
Was
noticed.
is was that an intentional thing, or was that just a sheer coincidence?
No, honestly, not at all. I love Melanie Martinez and I'm a massive fan of her. I think it was honestly just the fact that it was so specific to an era and a universe. It had this kind of like vintage feeling, maybe, that made it feel like it was in the same world. But yeah, it wasn't something that I had really even thought of, but I love Melanie, so it's very much an honor to have people say
Where did
that.
the inspiration come from for Sweetheart?
It came from a story that I've always wanted to tell, and a story I always knew I had to tell, which is my life. And God, that sounded cheesy, but anyways, it's true. As a 22-year-old woman living on my own and growing up and, the world we have now, the amount of times I have dealt with relationships I've had, romantic and non-romantic, where someone has dared to call you sweetheart or baby or cutie or whatever little pet name they want to give you, but then treat you like absolute shit afterwards. And kind of using all of that as a mask to cover up how much they love you. I was tired of that. And at this point, I don't want anybody calling me that unless you really, really mean it and you're going to back it up with real feelings. And I knew that I wasn't the only one that had that experience. And yeah, I wanted something that not just myself, but other girls, especially the ones in my audience, guys, anybody, it can be anybody, to feel a bit more empowered through that.
I mean, because when you just described the sweetheart and the baby, it was just like, I wanted to just like vomit in my mouth. I was like, oh, that shuddering, just, oh, no. It's because I'm not that I've dealt with it personally, but I know exactly what you're talking about there, and that it's just condescending. It's just, ugh.
It's condescending, it's
Oh,
demeaning,
God,
it's
yeah.
diminishing, it's so disrespectful and disregarding. It's so many disses in one. And so many people do it consciously and unconsciously. And it's so unfortunate. And it diminishes someone's self-worth, thinking that, oh, but look, they do love me. Look, they are nice to me. Kind of grasping onto those small positive moments that might happen in a relationship with someone. When in reality, they're actually just treating you like garbage, and that's not okay.
And 100% agree with that. It's just, like I said, it's just that, oh, that, yeah, like you see it so often. As I said, there'd be a difference of me as a fan saying you're an absolute sweetheart, because I mean it, versus what you're saying in that it is often used as a demeaning thing to degrade women and this, I guess, make them feel less than, which is just, and coincidentally, it's very prevalent in the music industry, which is really quite sad, given that it had, I would gather it happens an awful lot, and hence the inspiration of
Absolutely.
Sweetheart coming from that for you. But on a happier note, the cover for Sweetheart, did you actually lick a knife, or was that just added
Yes,
in?
I did. Yes, I
We
did.
need the backstory on that
I
shoot now, I
brought
think.
It was a really fun shoot. I shot it with a really awesome young photographer. His name's Dylan Matthew, and I've always wanted to work with him. And he's done some cover art for some of my favorite artists too. And I basically was like, hey, here's my concept. We're shooting the music video and we're creating this entire world around this song. And we played with tons of different props and images and all the clothes I'm wearing in the video and in the shoot for the cover are all like authentic vintage pieces. And yeah, I brought a knife which was definitely my just kitchen knife, but nobody needs to know that. And we put some fake blood on it. And I was like, I'm gonna lick it. I don't think there's blood in that shot. But yeah, I just wanted to go for it. And I love stuff like that. I love images like that that are a little bit like almost uncomfortable. And it just ended up being perfect for it.
Well, when you come to Tasmania at some stage, you can jump in more in front of my camera because that's exactly my kind of shit.
Awesome.
Because
Awesome.
I would do weird, uncomfortable stuff like that, like you just said, where you like doing the uncomfortable things, which I think is a really good thing to have in, particularly in the industry, and that ties really well into a question that another fan of ours has, Lily. They want to know, how's the music industry changed since you first entered it?
Ooh, I mean, it's changed in so many ways. I think there's a lot more awareness in the industry now than there was maybe 9 years ago. I know we've seen that kind of pop up as a theme, like overall in the entertainment industry, and I think we're seeing women really cementing their importance and their place and their worth. And I think we're seeing people accept that really well and be excited about it. But yeah, I mean, there's so many things that you could talk about, streaming and YouTube becoming a part of the industry. It's there's isn't a way that it hasn't changed, I feel.
And they also want to know, who are some idols you look up to?
Ooh, I really look up to Lady Gaga. I always have. She's always been my girl. Just because of the way that she embraces inclusion and difference and just being such a force, and also proving that you can be a musician and be really respected, but also cross over into other things and do it just as well. Yeah, her people like, my gosh, this is not a music industry person, but I don't know, this just popped into my head, Michelle Obama, like those kinds of strong women who have really done it with such class and elegance. Like, I love to see that.
And the last question from Lily, they also want to know, what's the biggest hurdle you face when writing music?
Ooh. I think the hurdle is really making sure that you're writing something that is coming from its truest place. And it doesn't mean that every song has to be a true story necessarily. I love writing songs that are kind of fantastical in whatever way, but I think the way you convey that emotion and that thought should be done with the best and most conscious, like, deliverance, if that makes any sense. I think it's so important to keep in contact that someone is going to hear this and feel something through this, and making that to the best of its ability more than anything.
I definitely feel like Heart Full of Scars is one of those ones that you definitely feel something from in, because I remember at the time that I'm pretty sure I cried a fair bit because it was the I'm Enough message that really resonated home, and I think that's what's really special about, well, not only with REBL but also or just also Heart Full of Scars in general, is that with the amount of reach you've got, that you actually had a message that was positive and empowering and really resonated with a lot of people. And I think that's just the that's really what, well, for me, that's what made it one of my favorites, in that I could relate to it, that it had the positive message of, hey, I'm enough. And although I feel like it was also you, and correct me if I'm wrong here, it was also you saying, I'm enough, I don't need to be more for everyone else.
Absolutely. It's feeling like just because you come from a place that some people might consider of being with baggage or whatever your start or place may be, that is so irrelevant to the future that you're going to have as far as what you can do. And it's honestly a message I have to tell myself so much more. I really should listen to that song every now and again now and let it re-inspire me, because it's so easy to kind of look at what life feels like it's giving you in your hands and be like, well, I'm never going to be able to do A, B, or C. I'm never going to be able to be that thing I always wanted because of, you know, I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not talented enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I don't work hard enough. Like, all of those things can always change. And also, even more importantly, you have all of it in yourself just as you are. And there is nobody or nothing that you need to change. All you need to do is unlock that within yourself, which some people might find so, you know, kind of cheesy or spiritual, but it's really just all comes down to your relationship with yourself. And it's something I have to teach myself every day and remind myself every day, is I am enough. I can do it. I can do this. And that was something that I knew seeing, like, the amazing people who have been a part of my audience and who are my fans and who have been there through everything. Like, they're constantly saying, like, how did you do this? You've inspired me. Like, how do you get through this? Asking me questions. And this song was a way of answering that and saying, you've got this. And also telling myself, you've got this.
And I think that's right there for anyone listening. That's exactly why that song is one of my favorites, because of just the message you put into it, in that it's more than just a song. And I think that's why I really enjoy the direction you've gone in, because a lot of your songs are more than just a song. And they actually have a message.
That's really sweet.
I was going to make a sweetheart pun there, but just couldn't come up with one. Oh. But and for those that haven't listened to Rebel, it's a 5-track EP. And I had the absolute joy of... It was an online concert, which really need to be more of a thing. Because there's been a few now, and there just needs to be more of them. And it was you doing the album acoustic, and it was just a nice version. And so Satellite's still one of my underrated favorites that everyone should really listen to. Just listen to the entire EP, because it's gorgeous.
Go listen to all of it and listen to all the new stuff.
Absolutely. And speaking of new stuff, I know there's a lot of people wanting to know this. One, will we get a new album or EP soon?
It is coming. Right now, I'm working on putting out I've been working with the most amazing remixers and producers who have just, blown me away with some of the stuff they've created. There'll be a few remixes coming out within the next month. And then after that, starting spring, you'll be hearing some stuff. There'll be tons of new music. I mean, I've never felt like I've been in a place like I am now, where I just feel like I've got all of this stuff, and it's about choosing just the best of the best and giving that to everybody. And I mean, everybody, y'all, you're gonna have music for a whole year. I'm so excited about it. And it's really just about, like, again, giving the best things. So all this year you'll be getting music. There's not much longer to wait, really.
Is Self-Sabotage one of those?
Absolutely it is.
Because I came across that on Twitter before our chat, and everyone's like, oh, I really loved hearing it live. I can't wait to hear it. I haven't done the digging for it yet.
Yeah, I posted some bits on Instagram. It's a song that I love. I played it before we even technically finished it, but it's basically ready to go. And I just love that song. And if you can go track it down, then that really shows something. But it'll be one of the first to come out, I think. as of
Is there a
now.
rough ETA on that, or not as yet?
Springtime,
See, that
springtime.
confuses me because Australia's spring is different to the US spring. And so then I've got to, I've then.
Oh my God, then fall. Fall for you. Before, definitely before the middle of this
Okay,
year,
that's
if
a
that makes
lot
sense.
easier. Because every time that someone says spring, I've got to go, hang on, when's spring in the US? And find out when that is, because.
We're about to hit spring, if that gives you any. In
Ooh,
the
there we go.
US, we're about to hit spring. It would, I guess, be fall for you guys or autumn.
Well, so next couple of months, which I'm 100% ready for
Yes.
more new Rebecca music because, well, Sweetheart was a good first one, but are you feeling like you might do more of a, and there seems to be the more style I've noticed as well, with, you know, everyone's relating to like Ariana just dropping EPs and yeah, being more of a, hey, I'll drop, you know, multiple singles unannounced, or I'll drop an EP or several EPs rather than wait 3 or 4 years to drop an album. Is that something you would want to do also, in that you want to sort of drop new music a bit more frequently than just save everything for an album?
Yeah, it's something that right now we're really trying to figure out. Okay, what do we want to do as far as what's the plan? And I love albums so much, and I'm a big fan of them. So I'm always rooting for that. But at the same time, just like you said, I love seeing the way that people have released them, whether they are releasing something in kind of multiple chunks of a couple songs or one at a time. I thought the way Kim Petras did it was super interesting, with like kind of a single every month and then it turning into an album at the end. And yeah, so you'll just have to honestly like see how it all goes, because I want to make it as fun for everybody else as possible. And I definitely am the kind of person who needs new music all the time, so you might just be getting that
That
from
tied
me.
really well into my next question for you, in that that's something that, you know, not only Hayley Kiyoko's done with I'm Too Sensitive for This Shit lately, where she dropped single, and then hey, there's the EP for you, which is a really cool way of doing it, I think. And then also Tessa Violet, a fellow YouTuber who I'm not sure if you've met or plan to
Yeah,
work
she's
with,
wonderful.
would you be really cool to see a collab between the two of you?
Yeah, I mean, I
From
would
two
love to.
YouTubers, it'd be kind of cool to see. With both your styles, it's because Tessa's got that sort of sad bop, and you've got the sort of upbeat bop. I suppose it'd be a cool combo of the two, just to see two strong women like yourselves doing that, and actually collab.
Hey, I mean, I'm a massive Tessa fan. That is honestly an amazing idea. I'm gonna reach out to her on Instagram right after this.
Sometimes I just want to push artists together and just go, hey, you would work really well with you. Please just do it, because you'd be amazing. Like you and Christina Castle, but did you actually meet on the Four at all? Or were you very separate to everyone?
Think we did, maybe briefly. It's such like a crazy experience. They don't really keep you from anybody else, but it just depends on kind of what times you're supposed to be there. But I'm pretty sure we did meet, and she was a sweetheart.
And so you use sweetheart, and it wasn't demeaning. It was the right way to do it.
Oh, whoop. And that's the thing, going back to sweetheart just for a hot second. There's nothing wrong with calling somebody baby or
No.
sweetie or sweetheart or whatever it is. It's just about the intention that you
Exactly.
bring it
Yeah.
behind, and yeah.
I just want to like see, like, you and Christina, and then you and Tessa, because there's two totally different styles tonally, and it'd be so. And I'm pretty sure you're all in the same area as well, as a happy little bonus. I think you're all in LA. You're in LA, aren't you?
I'm
Yeah,
in LA.
I'm pretty sure all three of you are. So there we go. That you could always do like a group together. That'd be intriguing. That
Yeah, that would be really fun.
that'd be very, very different. Because that's something that isn't usually done,
Yeah.
really. And just like throwing different styles together tonally. Which I think is, was that something that you consciously wanted to do in that sort of like, from memory, you dropped several fucks during Sweetheart. Was that like, I want to be more mature, or is that just to have a little bonus of the songwriting for you?
I mean, I try not to really steer myself one way or another when it comes to like things like swearing or not. If I feel like it feels right in the song, I'm gonna do it. And if I don't, then I'm not just gonna put it in there to make it edgy, if that makes sense. And Sweetheart, like, honestly came from a place of a big fuck you. And there were definitely moments I wanted to say it. Whereas like a song like, gosh, Satellite or Anyway, like that doesn't really need it, as far as, in my world. So yeah, I definitely have a much more clear direction sonically and musically of where I want to head, and then the lyrics just kind of follow with whatever they're really honestly meant to say.
I think it's really cool to see a lot of artists starting to, or and particularly all women starting to do a lot of songs like that, such as yours is a big fuck you with Sweetheart. Chloe Lilac just dropped one called He's Your Song, which is essentially a big fuck you to I'm not going to write a song about you, so here's your song. And Christina has Crazy Lover, which I'm gonna fuck up all your shit. It's I like that this is an approach that a lot of women are starting to take and go, nah, fuck you. Why should I be your thing or object or? And I like that this is a really nice approach that you're all starting to do, because I chat it. It's just a really.
Well, it's true. It's true, and it's exactly what needs to be
Oh,
said.
God, yeah.
And finally, we live in a place where women are empowered to do it and say it. And it's welcomed, rather than maybe a few years ago, if a woman had put out a song like that, people would be like, you have no place to say this, or kind of sit back in your corner. It's not really happening anymore,
That's 100% true. Is there anything you'd like to say to the fans at all?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I just want to say, like, to all of Australia, fans or not, I know what you're going through, and I'm here for you, and I'm trying to just spread the word and get people involved as much as I can, because I know you guys have been going through so much with the fires, and whether or not you're in the areas, it's just everywhere. And I just want to say, like, I am here. But even more than that, Australia honestly has always been one of the kindest places to me. And the people have always been so unbelievably welcoming and kind, even from the start. One of the first big things I ever did was this thing for Telstra, where I went and performed around Sydney. On a bunch of literal like big laptops that they had, which was really cool, and I got to meet so many people, and every time that I've been back to Australia, it's just been, I mean, the best time, and all of you are just so incredible. So I'm really grateful and I'm really thankful, and yeah,
Well,
thanks for having
please do
me.
come to Tasmania when you do come to Australia next, because that'd be really cool. We
I would
don't get
love
many
to.
international artists here, sadly. It's really quite sad.
Well, I'm gonna make it a point. I'm gonna make it a point to come to Tasmania. And right now I'm working on something. It's very early stages, but maybe I'll be there this year.
Okay, you have my attention now. Not that you haven't before this, but you've very much got my full attention now. But so, as Rebecca mentioned, I'll go listen to Rebel, which is all on your streaming services, and of course, buy it if you like it. And as Rebecca mentioned, there's going to be a lot
Please.
more, which we'll drop Rebecca's socials in the link below. And I've been your host, TJ, alongside Rebecca Black. Thank you very much for giving up your time to chat with us today, Rebecca. It's been an honor.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been so much fun, and you're so sweet.
Would you say I'm a sweetheart?
You are the best kind of sweetheart, yes.
Thank you very, very much. I've been your host, TJ, alongside Rebecca. and we'll see you all in the next episode.